Welcome to the Hackberry House of Cho Sun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from one of my own works called Let Your Kingdom Come. It's a book, by the way, at Amazon.com if you're interested in that. Or you can freely download the PDF of this book right here at Sermon Audio on parts one and two. Now, we have gotten into the book of Ezekiel, as you may know. And we're getting towards the end of that. I do thank you for staying with me. Many did not. I understand it totally. This is difficult work, but I wanted to show you everything that I could possibly show you in the Bible regarding the kingdom that's coming. And here is something about the prince that's going to be over the land. It doesn't say Jesus here. This is not the Lord, as you will see, but some prince that seems to be called David in other places. Thus says the Lord God in chapter 46, the gateway of the inner court that faces toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days. But on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and on the day of the new moon it shall be opened. The prince shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway from the outside and stand by the gatepost. The priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings. He shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go out, but the gate shall not be shut until evening. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the entrance to this gateway before the Lord on the Sabbaths and the new moons. The burnt offering that the prince offers to the Lord on the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish, and a ram without blemish, and the grain offering shall be 1 ephah for a ram, and the grain offerings for the lamb as much as he wants to give, as well as a hin of oil with every ephah. On the day of the new moon it shall be a young bull without blemish, 6 lambs and a ram, and they shall be without blemish. He shall prepare a grain offering of an ephah for a bull, an ephah for a ram, as much as he wants to give for the lambs, and a hin of oil with every ephah. When the prince enters, he shall go in by way of the vestibule of the gateway and go out the same way. But when the people of the land come before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever enters by way of the north gate to worship shall go out by way of the south gate, and whoever enters by way of the south gate shall go out by way of the north gate. He shall not return by way of the gate through which he came, but shall go out through the opposite gate. The prince shall then be in their midst. When they go in, he shall go in, and when they go out, he shall go out. At the festivals and the appointed feast days, the grain offering shall be an ephah for a bull, an ephah for a ram, as much as he wants to give for the lambs, and a hin of oil with every ephah. Now, when the prince makes a voluntary burnt offering or voluntary peace offering to the Lord, the gate that faces toward the east shall then be opened for him, and he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings as he did on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go out, and after he goes out, the gate shall be shut. You shall daily make a burnt offering to the Lord of a lamb of the first year without blemish. You shall prepare it every morning, and you shall prepare a grain offering with it every morning, a sixth of an ephah, and a third of a hin of oil to moisten the fine flour. This grain offering is a perpetual ordinance, to be made regularly to the Lord. Thus they shall prepare the lamb, the grain offering, and the oil as a regular burnt offering every morning. And now the prince's offering. Thus says the Lord God, if the prince gives a gift of some of his inheritance to any of his sons, it shall belong to his sons. Now there right away, folks, I got to stop and tell you that we know that's not Jesus. Jesus doesn't have sons. He has brothers. The Father in heaven has sons. And we are one of them, but we are not sons of Jesus technically. So this prince is not Jesus. And as far as an inheritance, why, Jesus owns it all. He doesn't get an inheritance, he gets everything. But if he gives a gift of some of his inheritance to one of his servants, it shall be his until the year of liberty, after which it shall return to the prince. But his inheritance shall belong to his sons, it shall become theirs. Moreover, the prince shall not take any of the people's inheritance by evicting them from their property. Now that should never be said about Jesus, right? Again, we know this is talking about a human being, a man who will be resurrected and be the prince over people that day. He shall provide an inheritance for his sons from his own property, so that none of my people may be scattered from his property. And then the offering preparations. Now he brought me through the entrance, which was at the side of the gate, into the holy chambers of the priests, which faced toward the north. And there a place was situated at their extreme western end. And he said to me, "This is the place where the priests shall boil the trespass offering and the sin offering, and where they shall bake the grain offering, so that they do not bring them out into the outer court to sanctify the people." Then he brought me out into the outer court and caused me to pass by the four corners of the court. And in fact, in every corner of the court, there was another court. In the four corners of the court were enclosed courts, 40 cubits long, 30 wide. All four corners were the same size. There was a row of building stones all around in them, all around the four of them. And cooking hearths were made under the rows of stones all around. And he said to me, "These are the kitchens where the ministers of the temple shall boil the sacrifices of the people." Now, I would not read to you the book of Leviticus. I would not read to you the book of Numbers, parts of it, and Deuteronomy, because those things were for the Jews. They are done, but we are not done totally with this kind of thing, because Ezekiel is still talking about our future. We've looked all the way through the book and all the way through the prophets, many of them. All of them are looking toward the future. So is Ezekiel. This is part of your future. I want to read it to you, and for that matter, for that reason. Well, in the middle of its street, let me talk about chapter 47. Now informs us that literally healing waters will bring back to full life that which has caused death in the previous age. Ezekiel, like Isaiah, may have slipped into eternal visions here as he begins painting a picture of trees on either side of a river that actually bear fruit every month. That fruit will be used for food and medicine. And I say this is the eternal kingdom because Revelation 22:2, which speaks of that era, reads like this: "In the middle of its streets and on every side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." And now another unique vision. Let's go to chapter 47. Here also, I know men have wanted to allegorize. It does make a good sermon illustration of the depths we can or cannot enter in the Spirit of God. But this is not the only passage in Scripture that speaks of a special flow of cleansing water issuing from the temple in those days. It would seem that this water is being sent out to purify the poisoned waters of a nuclear age. Let me read from 47 now. "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?' And then he brought me and returned me back to the bank of the river." Well, the following explanation of the waters seems to verify a literal interpretation here, as throughout the book of Ezekiel. Verse 7, "When I returned there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And then he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There'll be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there.' for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Gaim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their waters flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. Well, next, the actual physical borders of the new Israel, spelled out right here. Now, this is difficult to allegorize, right? Why try? Why not just believe that in the world that's coming after Jesus comes, this is the boundary lines of Israel that you will see. Thus says the Lord God, these are the borders by which you shall divide the land as an inheritance among the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions. You shall inherit it equally with one another, for I raised my hand in an oath to give it to your fathers, and this land shall fall to you as your inheritance. This shall be the border of the land on the north. From the great sea, that's the Mediterranean, by the road to Hethlon, as one goes to Zedad, Hamath, Beratha, Sibraim, which is between the border of Damascus, we're talking north here, and the border of Hamath, to Hazar Hatikan, which is on the border of Haran. Thus the boundary shall be from sea to Hazar Enan, the border of Damascus, and as far as the north, northward, it is the border of Hamath. This is the north side, it says. On the east side you shall mark out the border from between Haran and Damascus, between Gilead, that's the northeast, and the land of Israel, along the Jordan, which is the present eastern boundary of Israel, and along the eastern side of the sea. This is the east side. Then the south side, toward the south, shall be from Tamar to the waters of Meribah, or down into the wilderness area, remember, by Kadesh, along the brook to the great sea, clear across to the Mediterranean. This is the south side. The west side shall be the Mediterranean, the great sea, from the southern boundary until one comes to a point opposite Hamath. This is the west side. Thus, you shall divide this land among yourselves according to the tribes of Israel. It shall be that you will divide it by lot as an inheritance for yourselves and for the strangers who dwell among you and who bear children among you. They shall be to you as native born among the children of Israel. They shall have an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall be that in whatever tribe the stranger dwells, there you shall give him his inheritance, says the Lord God. And so, the book of Ezekiel closes out, almost, with geographical borders of the tribes of Israel. That's coming up next. Their divisions and the naming of the city from millennial days and or beyond as the Lord is there. That's the name of the city coming. Listen to me, folks. This has never happened in history. Sure, there was a division before, but it's not this division that you're going to hear. Sure, there were boundaries before, but the boundaries are different. Sure, Jerusalem had a name, the City of Peace, but it's not going to be called that. Do you understand that everything in Ezekiel is about your future, Israel's future for sure, but you've been grafted into Israel. You'll be a part of it somehow, and I won't even begin to say how at this point. Now, these are the names of the tribes, chapter 48. Let's finish Ezekiel. From the northern border along the road to Hethlon, at the entrance of Hamath to Hazar Enan, the border of Damascus northward in the direction of Hamath, there shall be one section for Dan from its east to its west side. Notice these are going to be rectangles all the way down, not like the original borders. By the border of Dan from the east side to the west, one section for Asher. By the border of Asher from the east side to the west, one section for Naphtali. By the border of Naphtali from the east side to the west, a section for Manasseh. By the border of Manasseh from the east side to the west, one section for Ephraim. By the border of Ephraim from the east side to the west, one section for Reuben. By the border of Reuben from the east side to the west, one section for Judah. By the border of Judah from the east side to the west shall be the district which you shall set apart, 25,000 cubits in width and in length, the same as one of the other portions from the east side to the west. with a sanctuary in the center. So you've had all the northern sections now, in the middle of everything, the sanctuary. And then the district that you shall set apart for the Lord shall be 25,000 cubits in length and 10,000 in width. To these, to the priests, the holy district shall belong. On the north, 25,000 cubits in length, on the west, 10,000 in width, on the east, 10,000 in width, on the south, 25,000 in length. The sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the center. It shall be for the priests of the sons of Zadok, who are sanctified, who have kept my charge, who did not go astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. And this district of land that is set apart shall be to them a thing most holy by the border of the Levites. Do you notice here, folks, how long the memory of the Lord is? Oh, we're talking about Old Testament days when Zadok was faithful and his priests were faithful, his descendants. But now they're resurrected. Now they're in the new land and they're still being blessed. Verse 13, opposite the border of the priests, the Levites shall have an area 25,000 cubits in length, 10,000 in width. Its entire length shall be 25,000 and its width 10,000. They shall not sell or exchange any of it, and they may not alienate this best part of the land, for it is holy to the Lord. So the Levites do get a special place, but not scattered all over Israel as before. The 5,000 cubits in width that remain along the edge of the 25,000 shall be for general use by the city, for dwellings, common land, and the city shall be in the center. And these shall be its measurements. The north side, 4,500 cubits. The south side, 4,500. The east side, 4,500. The west side, 4,500. The common land of the city shall be to the north, 250 cubits. To the south, 250. To the east, by the way, you get a piece of paper out. Follow what I'm saying and doing and reading, or go to Ezekiel yourself, and you'll find that it's fascinating how this all comes out. Some people have already done it. You can find it online. The rest of the length alongside the district of the holy section shall be 10,000 cubits to the east, 10,000 to the west. It shall be adjacent to the district of the holy section, and its produce shall be food for the workers of the city. The workers of the city from all the tribes of Israel shall cultivate it. The entire district shall be 25,000 cubits by 25,000 cubits, four square. You shall set apart the holy district with the property of the city. The rest shall belong to the prince. Notice we talked about the Lord already, but this is the prince. It's separate. On one side and on the other side of the holy district under the city's property, next to the 25,000 cubits of the holy district as far as the eastern border, and westward, next to the 25,000 as far as the western border, adjacent to the tribal portions. It shall belong to the prince. It shall be the holy district, and the sanctuary of the temple shall be in the center. Moreover, apart from the possession of the Levites and the possession of the city which are in the midst of what belongs to the prince, the area between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin shall belong to the prince. Now, as for the rest of the tribes, from the east side to the west, Benjamin shall have a section. By the border of Benjamin, from the east side to the west, Simeon shall have a section. By the border of Simeon, from the east side to the west, Issachar shall have one section. By the border of Issachar, from the east side to the west, Zebulun shall have one section. By the border of Zebulun, from the east side to the west, Gad shall have one section. By the border of Gad, on the south side toward the south, the border shall be from Tamar to the waters of Meribah by Kadesh along the brook to the great sea. You'll notice Joseph is not mentioned. I thought Joseph was getting two places. Joseph did get two places, Manasseh and Ephraim, his sons. And of course, that brings it to 12 again, Levi getting that special section in the middle. This is the land which you shall divide by lot as an inheritance among the tribes of Israel, and these are their portions, says the Lord God. It's all going to be new. These are the exits of the city on the north side, measuring 4,500 cubits. The gates of the city shall be named after the tribes of Israel. The three gates northward, one gate for Reuben, one gate for Judah, one gate for Levi. On the east side, 4,500 cubits, three gates, one gate for Joseph, one gate for Benjamin, one gate for Dan. On the south side, measuring 4,500 cubits, three gates, one gate for Simeon, one gate for Issachar, one gate for Zebulun. On the west side, 4,500 cubits with their three gates, one gate for Gad, one gate for Asher, one gate for Naphtali. All the way round shall be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Oh my, how different is this from the original allotments back in the Old Testament? Oh my. And once more I must say to you, why not? Why can't we believe exactly what God has said? A new world is coming. Definitely not like anything we have now. Something to look forward to, something to delight in when the days here grow dark. And they do grow dark even now, but they're going to grow darker. I give you a challenge. I challenge anyone to take the words of the prophets that I have quoted thus far and make them fit into the history of our present or past world. People who attempt this are the Kingdom Now, Millennium Now folks. That's a sad and difficult task, yet there's no need for their efforts. Or to those who take all these words and make them into some figurative meaning that fits with our everyday life, no need for it. Good luck with that. So much easier just to read this, believe it, and rejoice. Join me, won't you? Next time we get into Daniel. Thank you for sharing with me this book of Ezekiel. I know it was not hard, not easy. Understand one more time that the sacrifices you just heard about in Ezekiel are not taking away sin. Neither did any of Moses' sacrifices take away sin. Everything goes back to Jesus on the cross. It is finished with him. He began it, he finished it on the cross. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I won't go through all of my things that I do usually afterwards, telling you about all the sites here, but do look around, will you? I think you will be blessed. This audio is being released on October the 25th, 2022. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.